the internet laws in Turkey. And I have found somebody from Turkey, Attila. Hello, Attila. You are from Turkey and you are working in Antwerp?
Yes, hello. Thank you for having me here. Yes, I'm from Turkey and I've been living here in Antwerp for 3 years now.
And that's... you do something with computers?
Yes, I'm a software engineer, so I'm pretty intimate with computer and internet technologies, and well, also monitor my home country pretty closely.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening there? And
so, in what was happening there? There was a change in the internet law. What was the change about? Was the situation before that like the situation here, or were there already restrictions?
Well, there were already restrictions, and they keep updating them. But if you don't mind, first I'd like to give a quick history of internet use in Turkey, because
mm-hmm.
I find it interesting. In the 90s, mid and late 90s, internet usage was already common and had its own underground culture in Turkish youth. There were artists who made animations making fun of celebrities or showing ridiculous amount of blood and violence for humor. And
celebrities also political then? Or
mostly singer or that type of popular celebrities. Politics only a little. Probably wasn't that interesting for the teenagers at the time. And we even have online communities. Like one of my favorite community called Ekşi Sözlük was founded in 1999, which was originally intended to provide a platform to share all kind of information and keep a knowledge base. And this was even 2 years before the foundation of Wikipedia.
And it was something like Wikipedia?
No, the format is much more different. It's much more relaxed, like they don't have requirements for giving source or fact-checking, so it also allows for discussions. So it's more of a platform for discussing and sharing.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you can search for any interesting fact, like, I don't know, Wimbledon results in 2002, and you will probably find it.
So it was not only about Turkey or...
No, it's anything that interests the internet users at the time. And since they have a large user base, among tons of garbage, there is also all kinds of information.
Mm-hmm.
And let's come to today. As in 2000s, the internet usage has been more mainstream, so it's quit being an underground teenage culture.
But can I come back to that? Because I think that's a bit strange. Here, in Belgium at least, I think it was in other countries too, internet use started at the universities. So that was not the case in Turkey then?
Well, it probably also started in universities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I started using it, I wasn't at the university yet, so personally, I don't know before that.
But it was, apart from university, young people using it?
Yes. Myself, I think I started using it in 1996 or 97.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just casually browsing whatever I could find and trying to meet people over chat rooms. And I was slowly getting aware of the underground culture, which was mostly populated by teenagers at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Probably universities were using them in a much more professional way, but I don't know the knowledge about that time.
Mm-hmm. So I interrupted you. Then more people started using it after.
Yes. So people started getting more aware of that. All media channels, all newspapers started also showing news on their websites. So in the early 2000s, it was a commercial boom. Both internet service providers started presenting alternative services, not only connection, but also come visit our portal and have some shopping and read news and so on.
How many providers are there in Turkey?
In the dial-up days, there were many of them. And over time, it's more turned to almost monopoly by Turkish Telecom, because only they were allowed to install new wires. And without having that, you become a natural monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
Today, since there are now alternative methods like installing fibers, a few more companies started getting licenses. So there are, I think, three of them, not counting GSM providers. So now there's a little more variety.
Mm-hmm.
So first, so I want to mention that officially there is no censorship of internet.
And never has been then?
Never has been, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are laws that govern press, what you can and cannot broadcast or press. And they are slightly modified to fit internet broadcast. The problem is they don't fit.
How don't they fit?
If a TV station or a radio station or a newspaper prints some illegal or offending content, they have a commercial presence in the country, so that depending on the size of the offense, you can fine them, you can close them down for a day, or take several measurements to punish them for their offense. On the internet, you cannot do that.
The content can come from abroad.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So you cannot simply take anyone from some location on Earth and take them to court and try to fine them. It simply doesn't work. But they still insist on applying these kind of restrictions, which is also coupled with the lack of know-how in the official positions that perpetuates this.
So you mean there are no people in high politics who know how to handle this
kind of... Yes, and they don't even know whom to call for expertise or whom to trust with the technical details. Or maybe they simply don't care. I can't really comment on that.
Mm-hmm.
But a famous case was YouTube in 2006 till 2009. I can't remember the exact ban dates because this happened a few times for different reasons. But one of the longest cases was there was an offensive video, probably some kids, some early teens put it. It's a hate speech video which was simply basically swearing at Atatürk. It's a hate video directed towards Turks and towards Atatürk.
And it was done by Turkish people?
I think not. As far as I can remember, I think it was of Greek origin, but that's not very important.
No.
The important part is no person in the official position knows that you can simply file a complaint to YouTube and have it removed. Instead, the law dictates that first, the access to website, which is being YouTube, gets blocked.
Completely?
Completely, yes.
For the whole country?
Yes, exactly. So a district attorney who files a complaint, possible crime, then as a precaution, the access is blocked. You can think this as a similar, if a person is suspicious of a crime, you detain them until you collect further evidence. And if necessary, you can take them to court and make bigger decisions. So this kind of makes sense, except that you don't have to do this, which is coupled with another fact. This precaution stays there until somebody takes further action, like provides new proof that the offending content is no more, or take it to court and give a court decision. However, you cannot take YouTube to court. Well, not from Turkey. And without being an official side of this case, you cannot also file a complaint for YouTube. And since there is no action taken, it just stays blocked.
So how did it get deblocked then? Because somebody forgot why it was blocked?
No. There are some activists. One is Serdar Kuzuloğlu, a famous journalist who is active. He consulted some lawyers, and I don't know how exactly, but he managed to provide the correct evidence to the district attorney, who re-examined the case and found that the offending content was removed and ordered a lift on the ban. This had to happen a few times because there were, I think, 5-6 simultaneous bans on YouTube, and they had to remove all of them one by one to make it finally accessible.
So what happens then is that a citizen, like a journalist or whoever, says, hey, I want YouTube back, and then this person takes the initiative to ban the content, to file a complaint at YouTube, and then the whole ban is lifted.
Yes.
It's left to the individual initiative of citizens to solve the problem.
Yes. Officially, well, it needs a legal process, but since the process is naturally blocked, the process itself is set up in a wrong way. Yeah, it requires some outside initiative to steer it in the right direction. And there are broadcast laws also have some vague content, like you cannot broadcast anything harmful to children or what disrupts family values, which is, we can just say anything that you don't like disrupts family values.
So what about homosexuality? Is that seen as threatening family values?
Yes.
So how come YouTube is not blocked now then? Because there's lots of stuff that could be seen as...
Well, people can still, if they bother to find one video and file a complaint, then they can get blocked.
Then again, the whole YouTube stuff is blocked in the whole of Turkey.
Yes, and that has happened with multiple websites before. Although now some updates happened recently that the first action for offending content is to officially contact any website owner. So
okay.
Which makes it a little harder to get blocked. But a few years ago, someone tried to get IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, blocked by filing a complaint that illegal copies of a movie getting distributed, which was simply not true. You can just look at there and there is no link or nothing there. But the reality was a film producer tried to have this ban, and his movie had 1 star or 1.2 star rating, and I think he didn't like that.
Okay.
But he did file the complaint and did it. So, practicality, you can file a complaint on some other grounds, and the way the actual censorship works is using these dysfunctional laws and dysfunctional due process to keep something indefinitely blocked.
So what changed in the law now then? Has the change in the law something to do with the political activism of the last years and the fact that the social media are used a lot for it?
Yes. Don't think I need to talk too much about social media. You know that social media is just everybody can say anything, and it's a platform for political activists to gather together, share information, and organize their activities.
Mm-hmm.
And even Mr. Erdogan, our prime minister, said this with his own words. As a vehicle of terrorism, Twitter is more dangerous than an explosive-loaded truck.
Aha. Uh-huh.
These are his own words.
So the ban is also on Twitter then?
No, there's no ban on Twitter yet.
No ban, but maybe regulation.
Well, the regulation is everywhere, although it's currently difficult to ban Twitter for one particular content, since things appear and disappear pretty quickly. But the new law basically first makes it illegal to work around bans.
I see.
Yes.
People are always inventing something to get around it.
Yes. And I don't know how they are going to implement it, but the law dictates the internet service providers to take additional precautions against workarounds. I don't know how that will work. But it becomes illegal to try to find these workarounds. Second, there's a governing body called Telecommunication Administration. And the chairman of Telecommunication Administration is given the authority to order banning or blocking access to any websites on any grounds.
And they don't need to give an explanation for it?
Well, they probably do have to give an explanation, but they don't need any court order or they don't need any precaution order from district attorney. So just this
their own judgment.
Yes, so the government body is free to collect any complaints and they can take immediate action for that complaint.
And what is this body part of? Is it part of internal security or is it part of communications or
it's part of the government. It's part of the Ministry of Transportation of Communication. So it is directly related to the government, not a really independent body. But the new law also mandates fines and punishments to website and content providers who do not take down any offending content or internet service providers who do not apply the blocking orders in a limited amount of time.
But that's then within Turkey?
Yes. This is within Turkey. Well, simply the law says any, but you simply cannot fine Google, you cannot fine Facebook again.
So there's no blocking of stuff that's on Facebook? Or maybe yes?
Well, I don't think they would dare to block Facebook because everybody uses it, and the backlash they would get would be simply huge.
Suppose that I'm in Turkey, Turkish, I have a Facebook account, and somebody else from another country posts something on my Facebook page that is a hate speech against Atatürk. That's not my fault, is it? But I'm supposed to throw that off then?
Yes, you're okay. Supposed to do that. And as a person, this can lead to charges against your person.
To me, even if yes, I didn't place it. I have to...
Well, at the court you can defend that it is not your fault, but you will face the charges. It doesn't mean that you will immediately get thrown in the jail, but you will have to deal with that.
And how far does that go? I mean, say that I'm calling people to meet together at a certain time at a certain park. Is that also something that's seen as offensive, or will there be legal action against that?
That's a difficult question. I'm not aware of concrete cases for people being arrested for online organization yet. But also I know that people who do organize these meetings usually use slightly more anonymous channels.
Okay, seems very wise, yes.
Yes.
Are people not going away from the internet? I read something about certain journalists in certain countries who started using a typewriter again because they became aware, no really, of how much everything is spied upon. Is there a trend to get away from the internet in Turkey for people who are politically active?
No, not
yet.
Not yet, as far as I'm aware. But for the last year, for last 1 year, it's been actually pretty much of a trend for politicians to start using Twitter, which I see as an interesting trend. And they even reply to their followers. Have been rumors of even campaigns like people being paid for creating or encouraging following these people. But most of these high-profile people are part of ruling party at the moment, so their positions are more or less safe. For opposition, I need to think a bit. Some governing bodies, municipalities or party offices have their official or semi-official Twitter accounts. But that said, I'm not aware of getting off internet yet. But I am aware of people being charged with offensive content and getting summoned to district attorneys for putting official content, be it against ruling party, be it against certain politician or celebrity, or be it some generic speech against religion, against Islam. You can also get summons for that.
So, and that's new, or that's all in the new law?
This happened before the new law. There is already law in place that if some offending speech or comments are detected, the district attorney gives an order to release or expose personal details of that person and to identify this. So people have been charged with offense this way. People here and there, that happens. The new law is more about making it easier to block access to websites. It will allow blockage to be more arbitrary and harder to get around.
So that's then a challenge for people who do want to get around it?
Yes, definitely. Though I'm not sure how they plan to block VPN, because simply by its nature, if you have a VPN connection, it's secure. You cannot spy a VPN connection without actually having an access to the exact computer who starts VPN. And if you simply block all VPN connections, that is possible, then you will get tons of complaints from hundreds of companies, because it is a standard method of secure communication between offices of business. So it's mostly used for legitimate business purposes. So I really want to know how they plan to get around that at the moment.
That remains to be seen.
Yes, okay. Definitely.